This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is the Morning Run, and you're here with Lynn and Xiaoning. Now, we're running a poll on the BFM Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio, asking you, would you use a travel bubble between countries in the region? The options are yes, absolutely, yes, but only with some countries, no, I wouldn't feel safe, or don't know. Let us know what you think. We'll be taking a look at the results throughout the morning. We've had about 30 votes so far, so still a ways to go yet. And of course, in about half an hour, we're also going to be speaking with Dato' Sri Gary Chua, president of the Malaysia Retail Chain Association, on how retailers have been doing since the shops started to reopen. But right now, let's talk about jobs, because under the MCO in Malaysia, many businesses took hit as a result of physical distancing measures. And to cushion that blow, the government announced several measures under Bantuan Prihatin Nasional, including a wage subsidy programs to help employers retain workers, the moratorium on loan repayments.
Yeah, there's even been talks about potentially bailing out among the hardest hit industries, airlines. But of course, we have this question, right? Does it make sense to save existing businesses that cost government time and money? And would that time and money or effort actually be better spent on the creation of new jobs as opposed to saving existing ones?
So to help us explore this question, we speak to Achim Schmillen, Senior Economist for Social Protection and Labour at the World Bank. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Achim. So some economists are saying that the government should prioritise funds for new businesses as opposed to saving current ones from folding. Do you agree with this?
A very good morning, and thank you so much for having me, and Salamat Hari Raya to all your listeners. When we talk about the jobs response to COVID-19, I think it's very important to keep two basic principles in mind. First, if the ultimate goal is really protecting jobs, then any support that we're offering to firms should be conditional on or linked to these firms retaining jobs or creating jobs. And second, we might need to have a different response for short-term relief and for more medium-term recovery. I do think that the wage subsidies that we've seen as part of the Prihatin support package have really been a very important part of the short-term response. They have been conditional on employers keeping workers in their jobs. They've been time-bound, and they've really done a lot. The question is, what do we need when we move from short-term relief to more medium-term recovery? There, the emphasis over time should indeed shift more from retention of jobs towards creation of jobs. In fact, Malaysia has a number of policies that have been announced that could be very helpful here. These are the Malaysia at Work programs. They are meant to specifically help a few groups that really struggle in the labor market. And using these kind of programs to really support what's now more and more called the Generation COVID-19 to help them keep into work would be very important. And that means these programs should be implemented. And in fact, they might need to be adjusted to really make sure this generation COVID-19 is covered.
So what kind of industries should the government in Malaysia be focusing on when it comes to job creation post-COVID-19?
Yeah, so what we see in Malaysia, but also across the globe, is really that the crisis is not only a temporary phenomenon where some jobs are lost and then similar jobs are gained again, but we're really transitioning to a new normal. So we would really expect different jobs to be created than those that have been lost. For instance, what we see very strongly is that the digitization of work is really gaining pace. I think a lot of us see this in our daily lives. We're not so much going to restaurants anymore. We're using apps to order food or to order deliveries instead of going to shops. So a lot of jobs going forward will really require these kind of digital skills, but also other skills, like, for instance, socio-emotional skills, like really interacting with people in new ways. And this is not going to be the same as before.
Now, many governments responded to the last global financial crisis by implementing training or retraining programs for those who've lost their jobs. Has Malaysia been doing much of this? And is this something that we should be considering more now?
Indeed, a lot of countries have used reskilling and retraining in response to the global financial crisis. And now we are seeing, it's still a work in progress, but we're seeing a lot of countries coming up with similar efforts for the COVID-19 crisis. And I think exactly for the reasons that we mentioned, the new jobs are going to be different. So a lot of workers will need support. Malaysia has already done some of it, announced some of it, for instance, as part of the initial support package. There were some announcement of digital skills training and of training for workers in the employment insurance scheme. And I think that's really going in the right direction, but probably going forward for the recovery, much more will be needed. And in particular, what we will need is really a very broad base, really a whole of government approach to upskilling and reskilling, going beyond the employment insurance system, using the Human Resource Development Fund, using vocational schools, really all kinds of institutions, and also reaching a very large group of workers, not only those workers that are covered by EPF, by SOCSO, by the employment insurance system, but also informal sector workers, the self-employed, and very importantly, gig economy workers.
Now, focusing on new jobs is important, but letting businesses fail surely has a cost to the economy. So how do you balance that? And what kind of matrix should the government be using to decide which ones get assisted or bailed out and which ones don't?
It's always very hard for governments to pick winners and losers. And the current situation makes this challenge even more demanding. So that's why a lot of governments, including the one in Malaysia, have really opted for very, very broad-based support in the short term. And I think that's very understandable, and it's almost something where there's no viable alternative. Now, when we go forward, when we go into the relief phase, it would indeed be important to not be preventing the structural change, the change to the world of work that to some extent is just about to happen. And so it will be important to look very closely at whether those firms that are being supported do have a sustainable business model, are really viable in the recovery, and target the support accordingly.
So what else can the government do to use this as an opportunity, perhaps, to create more high-value jobs?
In addition to supporting firms and supporting upskilling and reskilling, as I already mentioned, I think a third element is actually supporting employment services. So that's the matching of workers and jobs. A lot of OECD countries do this quite well. In past crises, have really used it to support the recovery. I think there are three elements where Malaysia can learn from OECD countries. First is really using employment services to roll out very specific services for job seekers, using at the individual circumstances of a job seeker and supporting whatever weaknesses there are. Second, using not only the job seekers as a target group, but also the employers, like really coming up with services for employers. For instance, some OECD countries use even some form of HR services for SMEs to really support the small and medium-sized enterprises to connect to workers, to hire workers. And third, using technology and digitization to link workers and jobs. And again, Malaysia is doing some employment services. There's Jobs Malaysia, for instance. But I think there is a lot to learn from OECD countries. And in this particular case of the COVID-19 crisis, I really want to highlight the third point that I mentioned, the digitization, because that's not only efficient, not only cost-effective, but it's also very much in line with social distancing requirements, and so really with the new normal that we all have to get used to.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Achim. And that was Achim Schmillen, a senior economist for social protection and labour at the World Bank, giving us his thoughts on what countries, well, particularly Malaysia, needs to do when it comes to the question of jobs versus business. Because, you know, we have seen a number of initiatives put in place to help some of these ailing startups, for example. Because yesterday we spoke with the Minister of Science, Technology and Innovation, Khairi Jamaluddin, about a new technology startup fundraising facility. And one of the questions there was also, you know, would it be better to let these fail on their own if that is indeed where they're going, right?
The zombie companies. My new favorite phrase. I think the reality is unemployment is going to be very painful for all of us. And mm-hmm. so the government's efforts to create that safety net, which they did through all the packages, makes a lot of sense. But what's the next phase, right? Because you can't just keep putting money into people's pockets indefinitely. It doesn't work that way. You need to really think about income creation for these people. So what can we do? And I think that's really where it's going to be difficult. And there will be some transitional pain, no matter how much you try, because there will be some industries which cannot survive COVID-19. Or, you know, or even if it is going to survive, it will be much smaller. Let's say, for example, travel until they find a vaccine. So you've got these things, you know, and we're going to talk about this at 7:30 about travel bubbles, for example. But you're never going to have the same number of people travel as like last
not
time.
Not like pre-COVID.
Yeah. So the industry will kind of shrink. So what are we going to do for these people who realistically can't find jobs in the tourism industry? I think that's the pain. That's the challenge, right? So I think one point he did bring out, which is very relevant, is that a lot more jobs will require a digital element.
Yes, I liked that point because I think that even, you know, aside from the business viewpoint on this, from an individual standpoint as well, if you're going to be a job seeker during this time, you know, the emphasis on digitization and digital skills and even socio-empathetic skills is going to be even more important if you are working remotely and if this company that you're applying to has come around to the idea of working remotely possibly for the foreseeable future, because you will have to have a lot of self-discipline, you will have to be significantly tech savvy, and you'll have to be able to somehow connect with your co-workers who are probably scattered around in their own individual houses all around a city, if not a world.
Well, don't be like me, because yesterday I struggled to switch on the Zoom video, but we're all learning.
We are all learning indeed. But right now we are heading into the 7:30 news bulletin. But don't go away. After that, we're speaking with Dr. Mario Hardy, CEO of Pacific Asia Travel Association, on how traveling might look like in the region looking forward. That's happening after the 7:30 news. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.